Well, this morning, what I would like to do is continue with taking a look at some of the lesser known images of Jesus in the New Testament. Remember, last week we looked at the stone, and today I want to look at the forerunner. And the reason that we're doing this, you may or may not recall, is that our destiny, our goal, is to become like Jesus. That's the path that we're on. And everything is all about that. It's always all about Jesus. And that's where we're going. Everything that we do is to get us on that path. And you remember, even discipleship is not the goal. It's the path to becoming like Jesus. So I thought in our remaining weeks together, we could look at those images of Jesus, so that we can be on our way together to becoming like Jesus, which is where we're going anyway. But if we knew a little more about it, it would be great. So I'm also not using something from the lectionary today, so you could I encourage you to take your bulletins home and look at the scriptures during the week that we have read this morning, so that you can soak it in some more. So what I'm going to look at today is something from Hebrews. So let me just read this to you. We who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become the eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Now, I don't know about you, but the first thing that goes through my mind and the mind of many others reading that passage is, who is Melchizedek? And no one wants to be the first in the group to admit, I don't know who Melchizedek is, because, you know, here it is in the Bible and all that. And let me just encourage you a bit. The same is true for any gathered group of clergy. If this is read and Melchizedek comes in, they're all thinking, I hope when I get home, there's a resource that helps me explain who Melchizedek is. So, we're in excellent company. Melchizedek, very briefly, which, by the way, I did look up, and it's not in my head, is Melchizedek means King of Righteousness. And back in Genesis, he met Abraham after Abraham had won a battle. There were four kings against five kings, and the four kings, of which Abraham was one, beat the five. And on his way back, he meets Melchizedek, the King of Righteousness, who was also the King of Salem, which later became Jerusalem, or Jerusalem, if you like. And King of Salem means King of Peace, which you probably knew that anyway. So here we have Melchizedek, who is the King of Righteousness and the King of Peace, and Jesus has become our eternal high priest after the order of Melchizedek, after the order of the King of Righteousness and the King of Peace, which means that Jesus is now, and always has been, but is now the eternal King of Righteousness and the eternal King of Peace. So that's what that's about.
Way to go, John.
You're welcome. Okay, so the passage says that Jesus, who is this high priest, did something for us. And what he did for us is he makes the way for us into God's inner sanctuary. So one result of that is that we are there with him in God's inner sanctuary. One more result is you and I can help others get to the same place. See, Jesus is the forerunner who went into the inner sanctuary, making the way for us. He was the point man, you might say, went in there and made the way for us as the forerunner. And if we're becoming like him, one of the things that we do is we also become a forerunner. So I want to unpack that a little bit today. And let's take a look at what Jesus did and then see how that applies to us. It says that he went into the Holy of Holies, God's inner sanctuary. Now, you might remember something from Holy Week readings about the Holy of Holies. It was in the temple in Jerusalem and so forth. And there were several courts in the temple, you know, the court of the Gentiles, the court of this, the court of that. And then you get into the inner court, the inner sanctuary, where the Holy of Holies is. And that inner room was only allowed to be entered into once a year by the high priest of Israel and went in to offer a sacrifice for sins and so forth. You may also remember from Holy Week readings that at the moment of Jesus' death on the cross, the curtain, there's a curtain separating the Holy of Holies from everything else. That curtain, at the moment of Jesus' death, with no one present, was torn from top to bottom. What that means is the separation between us and the holy presence of God was taken away. There's no separation between us and the Spirit of God. And Jesus, as the forerunner, takes us into that presence. He entered that Holy of Holies, and his death on the cross makes the way for us to follow him. One of the things I will from time to time at a funeral point out is that our loved one who has died, it's not the end. Because Jesus went right up to death, and instead of making it a wall that can't be penetrated, he made it a door into the greater presence of God, into whatever it is that's over there. He made that, and we can follow him. And our loved one who's just died has followed Jesus in that way. And that presence is something that we experience right here and right now as well. God's presence is always with us. Okay. Everybody okay? Follow? Good. Very good. Okay. It's a logical thing here. Now, this whole thing of Jesus making the way for getting into the presence of God is exactly what God wants. It's God's desire. I mean, I don't know God well enough to know if this is true or not, but I suspect it's God's deepest desire for us to be continually in the presence of God. Jesus has gone and made a home for us, a large house for us, so that we can be with him now and forever. For some years before my dad died, I would Skype with him on Sunday afternoons. I thought that was pretty good of me because I was kind of tired out after being with all of you the whole morning. But there I was. So Sunday afternoons, I go Skype with my dad. His username for Skype was this: "Come home." The desire to be at home and connecting with everyone is written on our hearts, and that comes from God, because that's what God wants, for us to be together with the Spirit of God all the time. And we are. Jesus made that desire of God a reality on the cross, and even now as the forerunner into the presence of God. So what does that mean for us specifically? You know, it means obviously, I think, that we are the forerunners for others to Jesus. Well, Jesus is the forerunner into the presence of God for us. We are the forerunners for other people to Jesus. So how do you do that? Well, we spent a lot of time over the years going over how to do that, but let me point to a couple of things that I think tie in with being in Jesus' presence all the time. I think if we find ways to live that shows we are accepted by God because of God, that goes a long way for people to want what we have. You see, there's nothing you or I have done to work our way into God's love, and there's nothing you and I can do to work our way out of God's love that will always be there for us, all the time. It's just, we think about that, well, how can I live in a way that shows that God, I'm accepted by God because of God? I'm so used in every other area of my life to doing things I'm supposed to do, and when I do things I'm supposed to do, then I get the benefit or reward of that. But that's not the same way that it is with God. You cannot do anything to get the reward or the benefit or the blessing or whatever it is that you think you have to earn with God. It just doesn't happen that way. You get blessed because God's a blesser. You get accepted because God's an acceptor. Now, I know I've told you that many, many times, and you've probably heard it for years and years and years. But you know, it rubs us the wrong way so often that almost every time we hear it, we say, wait a minute. You mean all the time I went to church, all those things I did, all those committees I was on, all the nice things I did, everything about my life, doesn't that count? Well, it counts, but it doesn't get you any more accepted by God. You are totally, fully accepted, completely, without any reservation by God, no matter what. When you start living that way, there's an attraction that other people pick up. You don't have to learn the four spiritual laws, memorize all kinds of Bible stuff, be ready for any question. None of that. You don't have to do any of that. It's living your life knowing you're accepted by God because God is an acceptor of you and everyone. My pastoral encouragement to you is just don't be weird about it. just be yourself, because you yourself is the one who God accepted. Not some other version of yourself that's not yourself, because you figure if I become some weird religious version of myself, then God will accept me more. No, God doesn't accept you any more than you are accepted right now, which is totally and always has been. So you be yourself with God. Now, here's a couple of thoughts about how you might do that. Number one, pray in a way that you know that God answers. Even privately. And that means if you pray in a way that you think, I got to pray like this, at this way, this time, in this position, whatever it is, so that God will be convinced that I'm serious. I want to suggest you put that aside and never pick it up again and pray in a way that you know that God is hearing you. God's never absent. God's never off with somebody else that's more important. None of this is the case. God is always with you, always listening, always attentive, always ready, never stopping. This is good, isn't it? Right. So, It's just, you just need to keep that in mind. It's to live in a way that you know that God hasn't left you because you sinned. I mean, you know, to be realistic about it, none of us are going to leave this room today when we're done church without having sinned while we're in here. You can think about that for a while. We'll unpack that some other time. But it's true. And that does not mean that God has left you. Here's the challenge. If I may put it bluntly, would that be okay? Thank you, Rick. Okay. Would you prefer to listen to your guilt, or would you prefer to listen to what Jesus says when he says, "I will never leave you or forsake you"? Which one do you want to listen to? Think about it. When you are listening to Jesus saying, "I will never leave you or forsake you. You are my child, and you I am well pleased." And there's no condition on it. When you know that, something happens in your life where you are living in a way that you know you are accepted. You're praying in a way you know that God is never absent. You're relating to other people in a way that you know you are forgiven. Makes all the difference. And the difference is this: there is an attraction, an aroma of Christ that surrounds you. That makes you the forerunner for those who are near it. And they begin seeing something about Jesus that you may have seen a long time ago. And they start catching something about Jesus, and then Jesus becomes their forerunner into the presence of God. And it's all because you and I start living like God actually loves us. We don't have to make it up. Okay. I want to encourage you to take this step. Ask God, is there a way that I am living? Is there one thing, because there's probably more than one, but is there one thing about the way I am living that looks like I don't believe you love me? And wait on God to show you that. And say, "You're right. I do that. Wash me clean of it. And give me the power to live in a way that shows you I believe and know you love me." And you will become the forerunner of love. This is a great thing to be. And you don't have to work at that. Some of you know I was in a band in Arizona when I lived there. And when I get back there, sometimes we get together. And the name is Fossil Fuel. We had a contest, and I never liked that name. And the name I wanted was this. I wanted us to be called Gangsters of Love, her wives did not allow it. Just as well, because a gangster of love, you know, the image, you do stuff to earn love. A forerunner of love, you just, is one who's receiving the love of God and always walking in it. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the forerunner, the eternal King of righteousness and King of peace, who brings us to the place of the presence of God in such a manner that it fills us to overflowing. We ask now that this week you would show us even just one thing where we live in a way that we don't believe you love us. And we ask for the power of your Spirit to wash us clean of that and fill us to overflowing with the love you have for us in that area. We ask that today for the glory of your name. Amen.